Aloha Kalle, diesmal aus dem warmen Texas. Also das Wetter schwankt hier definitiv immer relativ krass. Mal sind es 15 Grad, mal sind es 30 Grad. Ich bin gespannt, was uns am Wettkampftag erwartet. Und letzte Woche habt ihr die Folge ja mit Kurt gehört. Und er kommt auch nächste Woche in der Vorwettkampfwoche wieder. Aber da wir euch immer anderen Inhalt liefern wollen, habe ich heute mal die Chance genutzt, ja, um meinem Host oder Gastvater beziehungsweise Pro Accommodation, wie man das auch immer nennen mag, mal zu interviewen. Er hatte relativ viele verschiedene Profiathleten aus dem europäischen Raum hier. Und deswegen, für alle, die jetzt keine Lust haben, die können gerne abschalten. Es wird leider in Englisch, beziehungsweise heißt leider, also wir werden den Podcast in Englisch aufnehmen. Und ist ganz interessant vielleicht, ja, wie man dazu kommt, warum man das macht und so weiter. In dem Sinne, ich freue mich und sag erstmal Welcome to the podcast, Raul, and thanks for your time.
Hey Marcus, how are you, man?
Yeah, actually, I'm quite fine, and it's a pleasure to talk to you, and especially as our listeners, like amateurs like you are, and triathlon, and they put a lot of work into it and doing that stuff. You're one of the guys hosting a lot of pro athletes, like for Kona preparation, for Ironman Texas preparation. You still do that, and you still did that in the past. And luckily, to Markus Tomschke, a Saxonian guy, some of the listeners know personally. Yeah, we got in contact, and yeah, we could came here the first time in 2020. I think 2021 or something like that. And yeah, now I'm back and I'm really enjoying my stay. Yeah, when you hosted your first pro athlete, at what time was it and who was it? Can you still remember?
I think the first pro, I know who the first pro athlete was. It was Matthias Hetsch. He came to do Ironman Texas, and it was in 2011.
Okay, and how does this work like in 2011? That you yeah asked for a pro athlete, or how did you get in contact with them? How does it actually work in the US?
With the With Ironman Texas opening here in the Woodlands, the person that was in charge of the organization at that moment contacted me or put a request to for somebody to host an athlete. They sent me the information about the athlete that in that case was Matthias, and we just accepted. We didn't know what to expect at all at that point on what will be to host an athlete. So I got some information about what it was, and we host him. He stayed with us for Ironman Texas that time, and then he came on 2012 also for Ironman Texas to do Ironman Texas. So
Yeah, that's pretty cool, and yeah, you as a family are quite open-minded, and it seems like Matthias did something good at that time, and you had several pro athletes from Germany and like also from Britain. I would say that's like the most, like Matthias Hecht is from Switzerland, but like you are maybe known in the pro circuit in Europe now, and I know that like you have to be really fast at an athlete applying to stay at yours for a race because yeah, your contact and your address is all around. No, I'm just joking. But yeah, how many pro athletes do you all in all stayed here? How many different persons do you count that or you don't know?
no, I have not counted, seriously.
Okay.
I pretty much remember everybody, but I
Okay.
haven't counted.
Yeah, and then like especially at what time of the year they mainly come? Is it like primarily for Kona or is it also like for Kona in Texas or is there any other times?
Mainly for Kona in Texas.
Okay.
So those are the times that everybody comes here. I guess that in the winter time, that is, in the winter times in Europe, or they go to either South Africa or Australia or Lanzarote or whatever.
And why do you think like also Patrick Lange is doing like his preparation, I think every year he does it here for Hawaii, and he twice he won a world title with that preparation. What do you think like as a resident of this area, is unique or is special, and especially that you are well prepared for Kona. What do you think is like for him and for some other athletes? They did the Kona preparation and did really well. What is the secret of the Woodlands?
First of all, if we talk about conditions, the Woodlands is hot, and well, Texas in general is hot in June, July, August, and September. It's pretty hot and humid. Miserable, if we can say. We get used to it, but I guess that if you want to prepare for Kona, the Woodlands is ideal. In my own experience, I feel like the heat in the Woodlands in Texas is worse than what Kona was. So it's my own experience as a person that ran, that did Kona. But it all, so that's, I guess that's the main thing. The other thing is, even if the Woodlands is one of the most cycling friendly, triathlete friendly areas probably in Texas, other than the Austin area and all that, I honestly don't know any other area in Texas that is that intense. But we are pretty low profile at the same time, so there's not going to be athletes paparazzi or anything like that. Everybody is pretty much into their stuff here, and yeah, there's maybe a couple of guys there that want a picture with you guys, but it's not going to be like you guys going to get bothered by that. But that we have a lot of pools, that's always a problem for somebody to that is training for an Ironman or something like that. So we have a good pool infrastructure. We have coaches that are willing to let the pro athletes to come and swim with them. So that's pretty good. And you know, there's a good running area. We don't have any gravel or anything like that. That will be good for running, but yeah, it's pretty running friendly. We have a lot of trails, concrete trails here in the Woodlands to run. So yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, for sure. I really also enjoy training here. And yeah, like you said, with the weather, now luckily it's not that hot, but it can change, like I said before, in a minute. Like with all the pro athletes, I'm just curious about, you have a lot of British guys, like you're also coached by Will Clark. I don't know if everybody of our listeners knows him from the past. He's a retired pro athlete, but he was like fourth ITU overall ranking back in 2012. And unfortunately did not qualify for the Olympics.
He went to the Olympics in 2012. On the 2000s in England.
Not 2012, because they...
No, 2000. I think that he went to...
2008 in Peking.
Yeah, yeah.
But he wanted to qualify for London, and then they took in Stuart Hayes at a domestic, and I think he was really pissed about that. You can ask him. It was like he was fourth in the world, and...
He went to...
He wasn't in London. In London was Alistair Brownlee, Jonathan Brownlee, and Stuart Hayes as a domestic... Uh-huh. And actually, I just know from the past that he, actually, I think at that time, he was nearly to quit triathlon, because you can text him, ask him if he was in London. I'm pretty sure. He was in Peking, but not in London. Anyway, so what is the difference between German pro athletes? Oh, no, like, how do they, and not everything, but... the mentality of training and how they, you told me, like you had guys like Markus Tomski here, Mark Dulsen, I think, was also at yours, or Boris Stein. And yeah, just tell us some funny stories.
I don't want to offend anybody, brother. There is definitely a difference between the German style and the British, and you know, there's, I will say that is a personality thing and a cultural thing, but the British are a lot more laid back than the Germans, by far. I have people from British, Germans, We had a guy from South Africa, also people from the US. I have good friends from pro athletes from the US that stay here too. But I think that's mainly, well, and I hope that I'm not forgetting anybody, but other than Matias, that's pretty much the people that we have there. If I'm forgetting anybody and listening to this, let me know. That's pretty much the British people is a lot more laid back than the Germans, and I guess that's in you see, it's a style. Everybody have their style, and it works for some and it doesn't work for others. So yeah, it's a style of doing the things, and
Yeah,
I respect that. Everybody have their strength and their.
but it's interesting to know, like you have an outside view on all these guys, and it's quite interesting seeing different approaches of pro
And
athletes.
even into the same German style, by regions, they're different depending on where on what regions they're coming from.
Okay,
So
so
I
like
can really tell that too.
okay, so is there like just like I'm from the same region, like Markus
You're gonna
Tomsky?
get me in trouble, man.
No, I don't get it. Or for instance, Alex Schilling. So, like, and then you have like guys, Boas or Mark, they are from the Southwest. Is there a difference between
Yeah,
us?
definitely. There's a difference between the East and the West.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely. There's a the East is more relaxed. The West is more to the business and more straight. There's more. Yeah, there's a different big difference between the East and the West.
Oh, and interesting seeing
And
that.
yeah. So let's leave it
No.
there.
Oh, yeah, he has a little dog. He's barking, but he comes back now. But we don't want to get too into this and we don't want to get into trouble. But it's interesting that the culture is still existing. And yeah, that also on a triathlete point of view and training, you see that as an outsider or having an overview.
I never, I even if I work a lot with Word and I know a lot of people from Germany, I notice, of course, I never knew about it and I never noticed it until you can start pointing out where everybody's from and how different people is.
So,
And I'm not saying, and I'm not saying that one is better than the other. I'm just saying that it's different personalities. It's one people, some people is more relaxed than the other.
okay, and what guy are you? So, like, what type of guy? You are the relaxed one or the really structured one being on point one?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think that it depends on what I'm doing. I'm a little bit of everything. I'm a mix of. I'm pretty chill. I will say on my training and all that, but if you have to get to business, you are in business. So yeah. And I consider myself a pretty relaxed, open person. In general, I can talk to anybody, and I guess that's why I'm hosting a bunch of guys from the other side of the world, even if I don't know them. I'm open to meet people. So
Yeah, for sure. That's really open-minded. It's not common, and I would appreciate if like families in other regions in Europe or this program was existing there. I don't think it is like that. So they provide sometimes accommodations, hotel, and stuff. But yeah, it's just more easy having some interactions with nice people besides the training and not being just in a hotel room. So that makes it much more easier. Yeah, now maybe I'm just getting into something, yeah, which is just actual in the media and they're all talking about. You were hosting Katarina Matthews last year when she maybe or might be was in peak shape for Ironman Hawaii World Championships. And yeah, unfortunately, like everybody knows from the media, she crashed. So she's coming back next week for Ironman Texas. You host her again, yeah, besides me. So Yeah, how was that? Like actually hosting her, and I know it's like you can't do anything in this moment, but yeah, how? What do you remember? How it was, and how does it feels about it?
Let's start with how was the experience with Kat? Fantastic person, you know. Kat is very, he's a great person. I know Mark before Kat. I met Mark before Kat because he's good friend of Will, and he came to for his Kona preparation.
It's just to let you, he was not just one John hint. It's just her husband or her boyfriend. I don't know.
Husband.
Husband. So, yeah. Sorry.
So, yeah. So Mark wrote me, asked me if Kat was going to come over, if it was okay that Kat came over, and of course she wasn't. And from the moment that we got connected via WhatsApp, fantastic person asking me all the time how I was doing, you know, all that information. We get along pretty well. And he came over, you know, and let me make a pause here. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are in the sport. I just care about the person. I care about that he's a good person, that he's somebody that is respects my house and respect our culture, because we are from South America, absolutely different person. We're not Texans. We're not even if we've been living in Texas for 20 years. We're not we definitely not Texans, but what I'm looking for in a person that comes to my house is somebody that is open to have a conversation with my family, get along, my kids can learn from, and I can learn from too, because you guys bring a lot of information and a different culture, you know, not only on the sport, but also as somebody that comes from the other side of the world that you're going to meet. So in the case of Kat, it was exactly that. It was a meeting another great person that is coming to my house, and we're going to have a great experience. There was a lot of pressure on Kat at that point. She was one of the favorites to win Kona. So, yeah, you know, everybody's stressed out. Everybody's but she, at the same time, she was absolutely fantastic and a beautiful person, as you see on social media, as you see in all her interviews. She's exactly the same person. About the accident, we don't have too many accidents in the Woodlands, and there's a lot of people that comes here. For us, as people from the Woodlands, it was a big blow for us because it gave us bad rep. But I think that those kind of accidents can happen anywhere. Unfortunately, it happened to Kat Matthews, and Patrick was there, Patrick Lang. Well, you know, it can happen to anybody. Unfortunately, under the condition that it happened, it was an accident. And I didn't know about it. At the beginning, I thought that it was just something minor until Mark contacted me and told me what it was. And I was pretty surprised about it. Then we went to the hospital and saw really how bad was it. So it was very unfortunately for her anywhere it happened, and even worse for us that live here that it happened in the Woodlands. So I'm very happy that she's coming over again. First of all, because as I say, Kat is a fantastic person, and we really want her to win Texas. I will be very happy if she wins Texas. No pressure, Kat, but just but it will be great. And on the other hand, she's such a nice person that it will be great to see her and see how she's doing, and you know.
Yeah.
If we have been staying in touch all this time, so yeah.
Yeah, like it can happen everywhere, like you told me. And I've just one short question, like, because in social media and to all his rehab session. I was just sawing a post of her like doing intervals 3 times 5 minute Ironman pace run, and taking confidence out of her dad. That's quite strong mentally. Your wife Liliana told me that they came back out of the hospital for staying here 1 or 2 nights.
Yes.
I didn't know that exactly, but was she already like being positive again after that, or was there like something, well, shitty, I can't go to Kona, or was it already looking forward to the next step, and what's ahead?
I'm just going to give you what I think, and I don't think this is, and I'm going to be sure that everybody understands that is doesn't mean that it's right. I think that when you're doing a race of that level, of that importance, and it happens to anybody that is doing any race, you are in a certain level of stress and a certain level of expectations. When you get that, when you don't have to do that for whatever reason it is, you get that weight lift out of your shoulders, and you become, you're a very more relaxed person. I don't think Kat at that point was aware of what meant to not going to Kona, like not racing, because she went to Kona. But I think that after that, it hurt. It hurt her a lot to not going, you know, to not do the race. She was very sad about it. But you never, you know, she was, when she, the days that she stayed here with us after the accident, she was exactly, you know, she was a little bit more relaxed on one side. Whatever relaxed you can be with a brace and you know, with all your wounds and all that, whatever you can be. But you know, at that point she was like that. I guess that it later, or she didn't show us the side of the being sad about not racing, being sad about not having the opportunity of going there and show whatever what she could have done, you know. And when I say what she could have done, I'm sure that was going to be something fantastic. So because she was in great shape, I rode with her, I saw her training, I always follow her as an athlete, and she was going to be, as we say here in the, as they say here in the U.S., she was going to kick ass. So.
Yeah, for sure. So and now she's, like you said, she's coming back, and maybe it's also for the Woodlands, it would be on, and for her.
And I'm going to finish this. I think that she's going to come back even stronger because she has some finished business. So I'm sure that she's going to be, it's going to be good.
Yeah, that's what I want to say. Like, she has to close a chapter here. Yeah. And yeah, it's also then good for, I don't know, like by the triathlon community, maybe it's, everybody knows each other here, so everybody knows about the accident from her last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it would be also cool for all the people showing her to win this race or getting the Kona slot for 2023. Yeah, I'm really looking forward, and soon as race time, it's just 9 days ago, and now just besides all the pro athletes and amateurs, like, just to know, like, you as an endurance athlete, because a lot of the listeners are endurance athletes. Just in a personal question or personal note, you did this Ironman stuff and long coast racing. How long? How many years?
I did my first Ironman in 2004, and I did, I've done 15 Ironmans. So it all started with some friends when I lived in Colombia. And, you know, it evolved to start moving up. And then they opened Ironman Texas here in the Woodlands. And it was like, you need to do the race. So I did 15 Ironmans, a lot of half Ironmans, a lot. Like, whatever you can put in the middle. I don't know how many. And plus sprints, triathlons, and all that. So on the triathlon side, I've done all that. I've done Xterras. I did the Xterra World Championship. I did the Xterra Nationals. I did a lot of races.
Yes. Yeah, so, and at some point, like you just told me some days ago, I just knew from you because you have been abroad when I was arriving. You decided to do the Cap Epic. It's a mountain bike stage race, maybe the most biggest one. I'm not that deep into mountain bike cycling, but some of the listeners. What were the reasons going like a little bit out of triathlon and doing some new stuff? And it's still endurance sport and it's still healthy and it's still a big competition. And I think it's quite demanding doing a 6-day stage race or even longer. What were the reasons like stepping a little bit apart from Ironman, not doing it, not anymore, but not 100% focused on just this one stuff?
Everything has a time, okay? And I started doing triathlons when I was, this was a long time ago, when you are in a 24-hour mode triathlon, you know, you're thinking all the time about triathlon, you're thinking about your season. When it's not triathlon season, you're on off season thinking about the next season. So it's like you are in a triathlon mode, and everything really changed when I did Kona in 2017. I promised myself that I was gonna wasn't going to do any more tries at that point for a while. So but then you get into this hole of what am I gonna do with my life after being swimming every day, 3-4 times a week, running every day, biking every day. You start getting into this hole of what am I gonna do? And there's where a friend of mine told me that he was gonna do the Leadville 100 mountain bike race here in Colorado. And I did a race with him. I had something to train for. Then you get into, I always did mountain bike. I love mountain biking. I really, really, really love it. And then we started evolving into doing these races. Then in 2020, I raced for Ironman Texas because another two friends told me, hey, let's do it. And, you know, it's do it with your friends. And then with COVID, they moved Texas, and I end up doing Texas 2022. And then my partner for Cape Epic, Christian, he told me, hey, let's do Cape Epic. We registered last year in 2022. Cape Epic is a legendary race. It's like Kona on mountain bike. It's a big, big deal. And the best mountain bikers in the world do that race. So I always wanted to do the race. Last year in 2022, when I registered, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I was in Ironman mode at that point. And then when I finished the race, I did Ironman with a hernia, something. I talked to my doctor first, just don't worry about it. I got a hernia surgery. And then I start training for what we can call Cape Epic. I did the Vuelta al Cotopaxi in Ecuador with some of my best riding friends here in the Woodlands. And we had a blast there. And then we took a vacation and start training full-time for Cape Epic.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. And yeah, somehow you're still into it. And just going back a little bit, why did you decided like after Kona 2017, you told us on the podcast, you don't want to do any tries anymore? And that's like everybody's talking about this stuff moving Kona to Nice. And there's bad reputation going on these days. I can understand that, but what was the reason that like you would like a little bit stepping away from that because you achieved your goals qualifying for Kona, or what was the reason?
I was in the let's say on the golden days of Ironman, that were let's say 2013 to 2016, pretty much. That's where everything was Ironman. You cannot register for any race. You had to volunteer to go to get into a race. I as I said, I got a little bit burned out if I say about the tries. So we have I got a little bit of too much triathlon for a little bit. I was too much into it, so I needed a break. I had many coaches, not that many, like three or four, but you know, they all help on the right moment, they did the right, they moved me up, all of them. In 2017, I did Ironman Texas in April, and then I did Kona in October. I pretty much trained a year, so I was tired. I needed a break, big time, and so I think that evolved in not doing another race next year. I don't think that it was on purpose, but I think that it was necessary, and it just happened.
Okay, so I was thinking like you had this point before the race.
No, I didn't. I say it before the race. I might throw my tri bike in the Pacific after Kona, but I'm not. But I say it. I believe it. I took a couple of months off, but I didn't think that it was going to take that long. I really didn't miss it after Kona to start training for tries. I got my road bike. I started riding my bike. I always ride my bike, so I love riding bikes. I keep running, but nothing like when I was training for an Ironman. I didn't register for anything. So yeah,
it's quite interesting, and it also shows the point like how demanding it can be for professionals, like you saw firsthand from Kate, and being the favorite and going, and also like for you guys. Doing all the work and all the training besides the job and the family, it can also be quite exhausting and demanding. And yeah, it's good that you find a way to step away and now come back. Some of the guys, they never make it and then are completely burned out. You often hear these stories about. And we really have to take care for that one.
I think there was a time that the biggest thing in the world was doing Ironman. I think that there's other races around that you can do now. Don't get me wrong. I like the training that you do for the Ironman and all that, but I don't like to do it all the time as I was doing it before. So, and I found that I can stay in good shape on a good level and come back to the Ironman without being, I don't need to be competitive like to the level that I was before. So I can be on a decent level and go and race an Ironman after 6 months of training and come back and do it. And so,
yeah, that's
in my point of view also, let me say this, I also feel that that after a while you learn how to do an Ironman. It's not that. So you don't need to train as hard as you did on your first one. So you know a couple of tricks here and there, on the training and on the racing to not die in the process.
Okay, so like how many Ironmans just for me also? I think I have to calculate. I think I did five or six. After how many, you know all the tricks? Like after 10?
No, I don't think so. I don't think I know all the tricks. But I think that I know
some
after
of them.
After a while, I will say like shit. It took me a while, especially on the nutrition side. I think that was the hardest part. Also, during my time, we started doing Ironmans with heart rate monitor. There was no power meters. There was no computer. There was no smart computers. There was no smartwatch. There was nothing like that. And then you get into I transition from. Let's talk. If we talk about the technology side, you transition from the heart rate monitors to power meter, and try to understand not only the technology, but understanding the technology, where your heart rate should be, where your power should be, all that protocols and all that took a while to transition from those two parts. Now, power has been here for about 10 years. I started on a period of time where there was no, or power wasn't that common, or it was way too expensive. And also the other thing is that when I started doing Ironman, I didn't understand well the part of the nutrition of how many joules you have to take, how many grams of carb you have to take, calories, all the stuff that I understand now a lot better, and I can and even use it for other sports.
Is this nutrition, especially because now in every media you can find a lot of stuff about it and can read a lot of nutrition, but you have to find out your own for sure. But back in the days, like 15 years prior, was there this information spread out that well, or was it really just for, some people know that and some just don't know?
I don't think that before, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't think that before there was that much emphasis of nutrition and racing like it is now. Now it's almost like you put more emphasis on the nutrition side than on the training side. Because if you might be the best, you might be trained as much as you can, but if you don't have a good nutrition plan for the race, especially long distance, you're going to blow up. So the guy that wins the race is not the guy that is in best shape, it's the one that fits better. So
for sure. Nutrition is the main point, like especially like you said, an Ironman, I think 70.3, you can cope.
Yeah.
But for the long distance, you have to be on point for that one.
Yeah, even for all age groupers, I know that you guys finish the races like in 3.5 hours, but for age groupers that finish a race in 5 hours, 6 hours, you need to eat well, you know, otherwise you're going to die on the second half of the half marathon. So if you want to put the right power, if you want to have a good run, you need to eat well.
Yeah, for sure. Then thanks for your time, Raul. Hopefully we can do a chat with you and Kate after a successful Ironman Texas for all of us. Thanks for your time and thanks for hosting us.
Hopefully we do it with a good beer.
That would be my first one. Maybe we have to do that. Okay, thanks. Appreciate it, man.
All right, man. Bye.